This is not a commercial holiday. It's a coming time of our Savior. You know, the government wants to infringe on everything. I think somebody in the White House or around the area thinks that man established marriage. It's time to realize it didn't come from man. It came from God. And we live our lives and people in this world as if God is just a nuisance. And Christians are the reason for all the evil. And things are going down because people just don't agree with what we believe. The problem is much of the belief in America came from the devil. And we need to understand that. Don't get ensnared in the philosophies of the world. Paul writes, don't let anyone distort your views of God by believing the philosophies of this world. And so this morning, bear with me as I talk to you about Luke chapter 2. Because without a Savior, you're all going to hell.
That's right.
Without a Savior, you are hopeless. You are most miserable. You are to be pitied. You are to come to a place where you just throw up your hands. And what would it matter if suicide existed around here? We need to understand something. It wasn't just happenstance that happened in Newtown, Connecticut. Come on, folks. It wasn't an accident. It was premeditated murder. And it came from the devil. And we need to account for what's happening, what's from God and what's from the devil, and take a look at it and resist the devil. God had no intention of having those kids killed. You can hear all kinds of reasons. You can hear all kinds of psychosomatic sicknesses. You can hear about everything. This was a plan developed in the pit of hell, just like all the other ones. And it's really time we wake up. We have a Savior. I was listening to Stephen on the radio this morning. You didn't get it. You missed a good message, except for baby Huey. I think you talk about me. But we get fed and we get fed and we get fed and we get fed and we get fed. Now it's time just to stand up and do something with the feedings. There's all kinds of people out there, folks, that don't have a clue what's happening. They don't have a clue. They think it's all about guns. Hello? You know, Cain didn't have a gun to kill Abel. Hello? It's a heart. It's a heart issue. And it's something we need to seriously take a look at. But let's look at this. Chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. Verse number 7. I'll lighten up, okay? I'm not throwing anything at you. And she brought forth her firstborn son. I think that was Angie. You know, I can understand something now. I can understand why my daughter Tracy had her last two babies at home. It was so simple. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now I asked the people on Wednesday night, isn't it amazing? God had everything planned out. Everything planned out. The Bible says even at the right time, in the fullness of time, in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son born of a woman, born under the law. Why didn't he make a reservation? You know, we'll be in St. Joseph, Missouri tonight. I just don't travel and by happenstance say, well, there'll be a motel open somewhere. We did that one time on the West Coast and we ended up in a remodeled room in Portland, Oregon with nothing in it except a bed. We don't do that anymore. God had everything planned out. I want you to think about it. He had it all put together. But wait a minute, I forgot to make a reservation. No, he didn't.
Didn't have enough
first
points.
He could stay at Lakita if he got some points. Starts out with the Savior being born in humble surroundings. The Bible says he's born in a manger. How many know what a manger is? What is it? It's a feed trough. So why don't we sing Away in a Feed Trough? You know, I thought of that this morning. I'm working on this. Away in a feed trough. Oh. Just doesn't fit, does it? He was born in a manger because there was no room. I'm gonna just bear with me. Can I tell you something? There was more room in Bethlehem than there is for the U.S. for the Savior. Why don't you think about that? They had at least someone who was going to allow him to use their stable. What about America? You mention God anymore and you're politically incorrect. Let's be incorrect, folks. Let's get on the bandwagon. Let's jump on it. Let's stand for the lives of our kids. Let's stand for the lives of people in the mall in Portland. Let's stand for the lives of kids from Columbine. Let's stand together. There's room in our hearts for you, Jesus. There's an amazing life that people are missing. They're missing it. And they're ignorant of it. I got a call a while back from a Presbyterian pastor to teach some kids. As I went out to meet with them, they were from all over. They didn't know the meaning of Christmas. They didn't know the meaning of Easter. They didn't have a clue. And I'm not making it up. They didn't have a clue. Jesus, there's room here for you. There's room. You can preach a whole message on that, but I'm not going to. The shepherds in their flocks, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Look at me. Expect the glory. Come on. When you walk in this place, when you walk into a shopping center, wherever you're going in the next few weeks, expect the glory of God to shine through you, that manifested presence. Be a messenger. Be a messenger. An angel simply means messenger. Go out there as a sent from God with the glory of God surrounding you, taking hold of you, working through you. Let them see Jesus in you no matter what you're doing. You know, If Satan wants to manifest his presence, why wouldn't God? If Satan wants to manifest the demonic, and you say, oh, that's not, you should have been with me on Tuesday. There's a demonic force that's being manifested in the lives of children, folks. There's a demonic force being manifested in the lives of people in this city, and it takes the power of God. And if Satan wants to manifest himself, how much more should we manifest the presence of God? It's time. It's time for every single one of us to be radically sold out to Jesus. And let the glory of God radiate through us and touch people's lives. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Can I just level with you? I want the presence of God so strong in here that we're almost afraid to come in. Come on. We need to have a whole lot of shaking going on. We need to come to a place where God, okay, God will absolutely, radically rock our world. And I can use some of those terms. Because sometimes it's easy to get complacent. It's great to have Glory and Larry with us. It's great to have Jinky with us from the Philippines. Did you ever get tired of climbing in that bus? Heaven forbid, I can't sin. I just was excited every time I could jump on that bus and go. That's my life, man. Oh, yeah. Tell me about it, and then we'll go confess our sins together. Complacency. We need folks like never before to honor the presence of God and honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and absolutely radically desire the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the angel began to talk to him. Angel said, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be unto all people. How long since you've had great joy? How long since you've really been excited about something? You know, I love to pick up my grandson because he bows down and wipes my feet off and gives me a big hug, and there's tears coming down his eyes, and he can't wait till I get to Sioux City to pick up PJ. I mean, it's just amazing how much he loves Grandpa. He can't even say no because he'll walk to Texas. So for 3 days, I can say anything I want to him. I can do anything I want. I can put my hand in his pocket, take his billfold, take out his debit card. I don't even know what one is, but we don't care about that. Take his phone, yeah. I'll walk to Texas. Better get started, son. But you know, how long have you been excited? How long since you felt the great joy about your relationship with God? How long have you been excited about being married? Are you excited about anything? Now I know I'm meddling. Okay, Greg. But we come to a place, everything that's not maintained runs down.
That's right.
I want you to think about that. I just know the experience. I just had the transmission fluid changed. It was pretty thick, a young man told me. Everything that you don't maintain runs down. If you're casual with your relationship with God, it runs down. Great joy. Think with me, and don't stay there now. Can you remember the joy the night you really accepted Christ?
Yes.
Can you remember the next few weeks as they couldn't get you to shut up about talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a bad word, but people try. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. He told them, don't fear. And he said, why? I'm not going to let you fear. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I'm going to read to you what I wrote down after going to the Greek. Because it's you know, Savior is just kind of, what do you say, green stamps? You know, now I'll date myself. A Savior. Just bear with me. A Savior is the Greek word soteros. Say soteros with me.
Soteros.
Now you all spoke Greek. You got as much as I did taking it in college. That's all I know. It means a deliverer. To make whole, to make safe, to be a preserver. One who saves from danger or destruction and brings us into a state of prosperity, happiness. It's saving from the power of sin and its guilt and giving us freedom. It's saving from eternal death, separation from God in hell and misery as a consequence of sin and giving us eternal life and the blessedness of his kingdom. Understand that. You know, we all talk about deliverance. But the main one in the deliverance is the one who delivers. Simeon said, I can depart in faith in Luke chapter 2 because my eyes have seen the Savior. Christ came to break the bondage of every person in this world who is under the influence and power of the devil. That's what he came for. It's amazing. As I sat around the table with six people this Tuesday night, and just ask them individually, do you want to accept Christ? Do you want to ask Christ back? Two of them had come in earlier and we had prayed with. And every one of them prayed a prayer asking Christ into their life. We got to work on it now. There's discipleship. There's things that have to be done. That's what Christ came for. Think of where you would be if the Savior didn't visit you and come into your life and come into your heart and give you hope and give you peace and give you an opportunity to live for Jesus. What amazing. And we'd rather talk about Santa Claus? Something's wrong.
Santa Claus?
I knew I'd get an echo. But praise the Lord, a Savior. Matthew chapter 1, talks 21 through 23, it talks about his name will be Jesus and he'll save the world from their sins. His name is Emmanuel in verse 23. God with us. You know, I went a while back, I went about a month or 6 weeks without leading someone to Christ. I was going through withdrawal. It's like you go through withdrawal. People need the Savior. God, how am I missing it? And then slowly, you start ministering. Things happen. I don't do it. You don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit always wants to bring people to the Savior. He wants to see the guilt and the consequences of sin broke. He wants to see people free. How beautiful. I close with something in the future. You all know the babe in Bethlehem grew up. We heard it today. You all know that the babe of Bethlehem was led down a road and nailed on a cross. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But one day John's praying. And he said, I see the heavens open. And there came a rider on a white horse. He had his robe dipped in blood. And his name is no longer the Lamb of God. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And with him on white horses were the saints coming back. Now, if you understand something very important, if you understand something very intense here, that if you believe, which is very possible that you do, and I'm not going against doctrine, if you believe that there's 7 years of tribulation, and you may believe we're in the tribulation right now, that's only 7 years before that's going to happen. If you're pre-trib, and you think the rapture is going to happen on the 28th, is that it? 21st. It'll be a week late in Sisseton. Then you still have 7 years. But I'll tell you one thing. Zechariah chapter 14 says that the armies were surrounding Jerusalem. The women were ravished. People were dying. And all of a sudden, out of heaven came a man on a horse. And he sat his feet on the mountaintops, and the mountain split in two. The deliverer came back. Not as a babe. Not as a humble servant, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will rule forever. Amen. Forever. Now you have a choice this morning. You have a choice. You have a choice of serving the loser, or you have a choice of serving the all-time victor. It's true. Mother brought, and I'm not going to go the whole story, but a mother brought in her son who was a Satanist into my office a while back, a few years ago now. And we were talking, and all of a sudden, and you know what I'm talking about if you've been there, the unction, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. The first demon I ever talked to. And the demon says over and over again, I'm not coming out. And the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I said, your leader's a champion loser, you're a champion loser, and you're coming out now in the name of Jesus. You know something? He couldn't stay. Who are you going to follow? I understand I've been a Viking fan for a long time. I know what losers are. I understand that. But I also understand I followed Jesus longer and I'm still a winner.
Amen. That's right.
We win.
Amen.
It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. People may not act like it. People run around with their lips on the ground, heads down. No, lift up your head because your redemption is near.
Yes.
And he wins.
Yes.
Absolutely, emphatically, he wins. And you know something? I'm a winner because he is. Not because of something I've done or something I've done for the kingdom. It's just simply a fact that God wins every battle. Praise God. Bow your heads with me for a moment. This is your opportunity, if you haven't asked Jesus Christ into your life, to do it. This is your time. Christians, I want you praying, please. This is the day that God brought you here for. And I want you to understand something. Please, and I'm not being mean, if you choose not and you end up in hell, you'll never forget this day. You'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. Well, here's all I'm asking you to do. If you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand and wave it at me. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just wave it at me. Thank you, honey. Anyone else? It's a great day to accept Jesus Christ. You know, I've never found anybody else that wanted my sins. You know, I never found anybody else but God that wants my sins. He'll take yours and he'll bury them. You have no past. One more time and then we're going to pray. Just wave at me. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Everybody pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, I thank you that years ago you planned for my salvation.
You sent your son
as a baby.
And he grew.
And he died on the cross.
And he gave his
life
for my sins.
Jesus,
thank you.
And happy birthday.
Come
into my life, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve. But because of your grace and your mercy, you forgive me. I believe, Jesus, that you died for me on the cross, that you were in the grave 3 days, and you rose again, and you conquered death, hell, and the grave. I am thanking you for that. Now I want to be your servant. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give you my life, and I thank you for loving me in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for everyone that raised their hand this morning. I pray, Lord, for those that didn't raise their hand, but they asked Jesus into their life right now. Holy Spirit, fill them, empower them. Satan, they're no longer yours. They belong to God. If you have an issue with that, deal with God. Father, I give you praise and I thank you for this service and this time. In Jesus' name, amen.